Sí, señor.
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin, and the band is back together. Primos, Ricky's back, and Hector, too. ¿Cómo estamos,
what's up,
boys?
Y'all? The dream team is back together. Let's go.
Gracias, everybody, for joining us. Como siempre, estamos aquí a sus órdenes. Check out our website at familiaffp.com and make sure to follow us on our social media channels at Familia FFB on Twitter and Instagram and on our Familia FFB Facebook page. So before anything else, I want to take a quick moment to, today is July 16th, and it's a special day for my little familia. My twin daughters, Rianne and Larissa, they turned 13 today.
Hey, so happy birthday. All right.
My babies are big.
Estas son las mañanitas.
I know my mom will be singing that to them on Thursday. Now, it's been a whirlwind, and ay Dios mío, three teenage daughters in the house at once, man. I used to kid that... that it would be that when I had three teenage daughters that I have to move out just because of all the shoes. So, I'm getting squeezed out, kids. I'm getting squeezed out. But
yeah, but you get squeezed out because it's your shoes, right? You're getting squeezed out because the shoes that you buy for your stuff, all those Jordans and right? Is that No? That's not it. That's not how it's going.
Oh, I wish. No, it's all of their stuff. All of their stuff.
Got it.
Adios mío. Say a prayer for me, everybody. But okay. Hey, mijas.
Bendiciones, right?
Yeah. Mijas, I love you mucho. We're going to celebrate you today and every day. And, you know, we've been talking a little bit about, between the three of us, a little bit about how since travel is pretty much limited right now, we were reminiscing about trips to Mexico from our youth. And I'm not talking about Cancun or Cabo. I mean, I'm talking about real Mexico, real Mexico, La Raza. And, you know, for us, I mean, it's Jalisco, it's Distrito Federal, the DF, it's Monterrey. I mean, all of those places. And, you know, a lot of us, our raza is, well, for the three of us, our raza is that tiny town, Pegueros, in Jalisco, where so many of us familia is originated. And a lot of them have relocated to L.A. I think I always make the joke that there's more people from Pegueros in Los Angeles than still live in Pegueros. But
That might be right.
It's quite the life there. Very different. It's a rancho town, the milking cows. I remember being 10 years old and being able to buy cigarettes at the little Abarrotes place, buying for my parents, not for me. They smoked back then, but it's real different life, boys. What favorite memories? Let's share some memories right now.
Oh, well, man. Go ahead, Rick.
Sorry, we went to Monterrey for some wedding my mom had. And I don't know Spanish very well, but it was great. I'm part of the new generation where none of us, we look Mexican, but we don't speak the language. And it sucks because people talk to us like we do. But we drove 3 days just to get there with my abuelita in the back doing our nails the whole way. And then when we get there, it's different. It's definitely a different lifestyle in the neighborhoods. When you go to the little... you know, markets, or not even markets. It's like an old lady who in front of her house has a shelf of goodies that you can purchase, and you bring your Coca-Cola bottles. And I believe they still do this today, right?
I think so. Yeah.
So it's just different to see that. Everyone drives faster there. They had little go-karts that you can rent, and even those had like no speed limit on it. So everything was a lot more dangerous. But it's beautiful out there. I mean, it was nice to be in the country, you know, that your family comes from. And that's what I remember most.
Yeah, for me, I remember it was 1985. I remember I was 12 years. Yeah, right. 12 years old. We jump on a plane. I think it was Aero Mexico or Mexicana. Those are the two airlines that if you were going like, you know, deep into the heart of Mexico, that was one of the airlines you took. We flew into Guadalajara. We went to visit my mom's town, like you said, the rancho in Pegueros. We went there. I remember the cow thing, milking the cows. I never realized that milk actually tasted like something. You know, over here in the States, milk is pasteurized and homogenized and all these things. And milk has a very, very minimal flavor. But when it's straight from the, I mean, I'm watching the guy milk the cow and he's like squirting it like right into his mouth, like, hey, you want to try it, kid? I'm just like, no, man. Like, what are you doing? Like, that's what? You know, it's just like mind blowing. Like, you can do that? So, and it's like, and they would, you know, take the milk into the house and they would boil it. And my mom's like, here, you know, try, you know, have some milk, you know, in cereal, you know, going, was it, sucaritas? That was like Frosted Flakes, right? Yes. Sucaritas, my Frosted Flakes. And the milk, it just tasted weird. And I'm just like, what is this? The milk had like weird, like a bitter kind of flavor. Like I was not feeling it at all. So the milk thing was weird. I remember bus rides. Like from the airport to the different towns, we'd go from like my mom's hometown to Pegueros, my dad's hometown, San Nicolás de Ibarra over there by Lake Chapala. That was like, I don't know, an 8-hour bus ride. I remember waiting in the bus depots and buying, you know, Chiclets from the kids and getting on the buses for hours and throwing on my Walkman and listening to Depeche Mode and Duran Duran and Berlin and Pet Shop Boys and just going on long bus rides and just, you know, enjoying the countryside and just like, you know, looking at everything. And there's a whole different experience. I really appreciate. I've never been back since. I said I went one time in 1985 and yeah, I really appreciate it. Really different. Really cool for sure.
I remember the first time I went was 1977. We were there for like 4 weeks and, you know, split it between Pegueros and Mexico City, the DF. Yeah. And I remember the milking cow, that just struck me. It looked so easy. You know, our primos, they'd make it look so easy just doing it. I was like, oh, you want to try? And I'd go and I'd like grab it and it's just like, nothing would come out. Nothing would come out. I'd be like, I'm grabbing it just like you and nothing's coming out. And I think they just got a kick out of it. You know, here's the you know, mi primo del norte, you know, he just doesn't know what's going on. I think they felt a little superiority complex.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But I remember that. And it was freaky. And then I went back in 1984, 83, 84, both times it was around Christmas time. And I was 16 at the time. And I remember like all these ladies kept, do you want to marry my daughter? You want to marry my daughter? I'm like, holy cow, kid, you know, what am I doing here?
at the serenatas in the plaza, you're handing out flowers to girls and, you know,
flowers and candy. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing here? You know, it's like, so that was hilarious.
Classic.
But I mean, it was just, I mean, Ricky, I mean, you talked about just everything was so dangerous. Everything was a little more dangerous. Everything was a little more loud, a little, you know, some of the things were faster, even though like, you know, when you're in the little, you know, rancho town in Pegueros, everything really slowed down there. But, you know, the things just felt a little different. I remember, Nina Vicenta. We stayed at her house both times, and that was like the everybody's hotel because there wasn't like a real hotel there in Pegueros.
Right.
And, we'd stay there, and I remember when we were there in 1977, she did not have a bathroom. Nobody had a bathroom. It was all outhouses.
Yeah.
When we went back in 84, we had there was a real bathroom there, but hers was one of the first houses to get a real bathroom. So, I mean, it was just trippy to think, oh my God, it was like an Andy Gump to go to the bathroom.
A
little more than 40 years ago. So this was not like, you know, you think about that, it's like the 1800s here. So it's like, no, this was 1977.
No, that's real. That is real, man.
Oh, that was funny. But no, good times, good
memories. Your daughters haven't been able to experience anything like that, huh, Georgie?
Haven't experienced anything like that. I'd still holding out hope to go back there with my mom. You know, mom's still strong and in good shape. So still holding out hope that maybe we do a family trip.
One big family trip. Get a big bus to take all of them.
There you go.
What they call it, like a commuter bus. Can you imagine?
Oh my God, that would be fun. That would, because that's a hell of a haul. I mean, we did it once. We drove it in 2 days, and I think we were gone for 48 hours, and I think we were driving 40 of those hours.
Jesus.
So yeah, it was nuts. It was nuts, but. It'd be hilarious doing it with a bus. A familia party bus. That would be trippy, man. Oh God, that'd be fun. That'd be fun. Oh man, well that was good to go down memory lane a little bit and kind of relive a little bit of country life in the familia in Mexico. Maybe someday. Yeah, hopefully, some of you guys are listening out there. Ojalá.
We'll get back out there.
It's time for some cheese man, folks. Hector, you found a nice little note about what may be holding up the Washington nationally football team.
Yeah, apparently there's a guy. He's an actuary. I don't know what job that exactly is, but this is 61-year-old Philip Martin McCauley. Apparently he lives in Virginia, I guess. He trademarked a bunch of names. Like, according to the article on CNN, he even lost count of how many names, since 2015 when he first trademarked the Washington Pigskins. And ever since then, he's figured that, eventually they're going to change the name. So he's trademarked a bunch of different names, like the Monuments and the Red Tails and the Veterans and the Federals and the Warriors. And I guess the rumor that I'm hearing, I think I've read a couple articles, that the reason that the Washington, D.C. football team has not announced the name of their actual team is that they're hung up in legal entanglements with Mr. McCauley. To maybe get him paid off to purchase, I guess, the trademark from him on whatever name that is that they picked.
Already have a name.
Yes, they may have already chosen a name, but he may have trademarked it as one of his, I don't know, dozen or couple dozen, whatever trademark names that he trademarked. And I'm banking on the Federals, the Washington Federals, only because I think we talked about it earlier before we started recording here, that they play at FedEx Field. And they, obviously if you watch SportsCenter or whatever, the nickname, obviously, if the team is the Washington Federals, everyone's going to call them the Feds for short, and Feds and FedEx. So if anybody's betting money out there, Vegas has a line on the name. Put all your money on the Federals, Washington Federals. I'm telling you right now.
Federales.
Yes, I like the Feds. The Feds and the FedEx. I think FedEx is going to be like, yeah, we like that a lot.
Ricky, you mentioned the Red Tails.
I mean, I like the name, but then I saw a story where they don't necessarily want their reputation to be part of the football team. So, but I like the history of the Red Tails, the
Tuskegee Airmen. Is that what it is? That's what it is, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And being in DC and all that. But I feel like I said, they have so many different things they can choose. I just figure Red Tails, they can just brighten up the red, but who knows what they're going to do. I heard something about the Hogs
War Hogs.
Yeah. So that wouldn't be that bad. I mean, our government does love war. So, hey,
they do. I think that they asked to keep the colors. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if red is in the name.
You said they are going to keep the colors?
They've asked to keep the colors. They're losing the logo and the name, but they've asked to keep the colors. So those are pretty classic colors for them. And
colors are colors. Yeah, I can't imagine there'd be an issue with, like a maroonish red and gold, teams yellow kind of
colors all the time. Look at the Rams. The Rams are like Best Buy colors now.
They're a little bit.
Best Buy.
Don't get me started on that. You had something beautiful. I mean, like you don't change the Dodger logo. You don't change
Eric
the
Dickerson
Yankee
Rams,
logo.
Right? That's the one you like Dickerson, the best, Rams. Right? The Eric Dickerson Rams. Those are the best colors. The OG Dickerson Ram colors. That's the best.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams would have those colors a couple of times during the season, and it always felt like they played better those games. But don't get me started. But I think you know what? I can see that they're going to be very motivated to make sure that this gets taken care of pretty quickly because
start selling merchandise, man. It's a money play. We'll start selling
T-shirts and hats with the money they're going to lose this year. Perfect time to make the money.
Well, they have the money play. That's a big money play. And all the fans are going to go buy jerseys and hats and koozies for their beer.
Right, build your man games.
Keychains and if they're not going to go to the game, remote control covers and shot glasses, you name it, man. They're gonna make a killing.
I have a rubber ducky piggy bank, so you can get anything.
Exactly. Is it Chargers? Is it Chargers rubber ducky piggy bank? Is that?
Yes.
There you go. Exactly. You can buy. They sell everything, anything. You can license anything, and they'll license anything, NFL, whatever. So you know, toaster. Whatever.
Everything.
Yeah. So let's be ready. They're gonna make some money, regardless of season or not. They're gonna make some cash this year for sure. The Washington D.C. football team.
And you got to figure they got they're going to have to hail to the Red Tails, hail victory or whatever, that, you know, their song. So,
right.
We're going to see. Ricky, you mentioned no fans in the stands. You're a Charger season ticket holder. What are you hearing?
Well, they're refunding our money. They're not necessarily refunding it, but they're using our money for this year towards next year. So they're basically anticipating no fans in L.A., mainly because we just shut down again. So, yeah, I mean, it's a little sad. Hopefully it doesn't happen. And if we are allowed to go in there, they're going to only allow, you know, probably 20%, which is exactly what New England's doing. Philadelphia is not even going to have any fans. The mayor over there is holding off on having fans at sporting events till February 2021. So I think eventually the SoFi Stadium is going to announce something for the Chargers and the Rams, especially because they're having so many issues building. Some guy died the other day at the stadium building it.
Oh, and no.
That's unfortunate.
So,
yeah.
So it's, you know, I hate laughing at it, but it's like everything bad's going to happen right now. It's just going to get held back. And I know they want the stadium right away, but there's just too much going on. I think the Chargers are thinking ahead. All these other teams are thinking ahead. It's going to be like that. I think 20% fans in the stadium. I would love that because, hey, watching a game with no fans sucks. I'm not sure if you guys have seen any of the sports going on, like the baseball or the soccer games. It's like, oh, just the fans just add that little bit of, I don't know, reality to the game.
Yeah, we talked about that the other day. I mean, George and I were talking about that. That's like, it's like, how do you now account for that in this during the season where, you know, like in Seattle, the 12th man and crowd noise, you know, road games are not really going to mean anything anymore. It's like, oh, man, you go on the road and it's going to be loud. And, you know, how are you going to do it? You know, it's, you know, you're the underdog, you know, because, you know, you have a disadvantage if you're the road team. But not this year. If there's no fans, there's no crowd noise. And that's not a disadvantage for the road team.
That's going to be one thing. I mean, I have seen a couple of games. My girls, obviously, they love soccer. And so we watched a couple of NWSL games and it sounded weird hearing noise pumped in, crowd noise pumped in during the game. So I know that's something that's going to be experimented with. I mean, obviously, Places like Atlanta and Indianapolis have added to it, added to their own crowd noise. But how is that going to affect the home field advantage? And
one big thing, they're going to lose money, obviously. So how does that affect the free agency pool the following year? Do teams not want to sign people for longer contracts? And we're going to talk about that later, about who's all going to be a free agent. But it's going to bring a lot of long-term effects.
Yeah, I think it could make some people are going to take lower base salaries, maybe to get a little extra an extra year out of it, or they'll just go start going year to year on that one. I think what's happening now is going to have a multi-year impact on the NFL, especially free agency salaries and everything like that. But more stuff to follow, talk about on future shows. But I think it's good that football is probably, I don't think probably, it's definitely the best TV sport. It's everything is perfect for, I think it's the perfect game for TV. NBA I think is next. It's and I say that painfully because baseball is still so near and dear to my heart.
Near and dear. I totally agree. Yeah. Love me some baseball, but you hear it from enough people like, man, it's 3 hours. Like Jesus, you know, it's you can't argue really. I mean, if you're a purist, yeah, you know, it's good, but other than that, it can be tough.
Yeah, even though football is 3 hours. But last bit of chisme is a little bit kind of like, is it more Vanity Fair than NFL? OBJ is going to find out again if blondes do have more fun. So. Hey. Yeah, apparently on his YouTube channel, it's actually really worth watching. He hosted a roundtable discussion with Cam Newton, Todd Gurley, and Victor Cruz, where they talked about they got real, they got raw. They talked about the pandemic, how it's impacting them, and how it's impacting others. They talked about Black Lives Matter. Obviously, you know, a couple of them were very much involved in the big video that was produced by the NFL, and also NFL life in general right now. OBJ introduced that he's going back to the blonde, the high crew cut or whatever it is. Yeah. He had it under a cap most of the time, but he's going back to blonde. He says he feels real that way.
There you go. So hey, more power to him.
He officially has gone up one spot in my rankings.
So, because of the blonde, right?
Because of his attitude.
I'm staying away. I'm still staying away.
Yeah, I'll still stay far, far away from him. I love the change in attitude he's had. He seems more humble and not basically more mature, which is great to see. But you know what? Let's see how that translates on the field.
Yeah.
All I can think about when I think of someone described as more mature is someone who's slower. So
right. Older and slower.
So what happens? I'd love to see this translate to something good, like he's willing to not be, you know, the center of attention in Cleveland. Or does this mean that he's not going to care what people think about him and he's just going to be the fool that he used to be? Who knows? We'll see what happens. I don't know. We talk too much crap about the Browns to keep giving them attention. So.
It's made me think a little bit about not the blonde hair, but I mean it the way listening to him talk, he had like a humility and kind of like like some of the events that had happened in the last year, obviously with his health and also with you know, what's going on in the world, probably made him kind of slow down his brain a little bit. And it that, you know, you like to see that maturity come out. And you know, I still want to see him celebrate and maybe celebrate his touchdowns, just maybe not such crazy ways, but
right.
We'll see. I mean, the NFL is a better place when OBJ is getting 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns. So We'll see if he gets there. We'll see if he gets there. He's still young enough to get it back. But last episode, we talked about the AFC and NFC West schedule reviews, and it was very revealing to look at those divisions and kind of break down the games by, you know, weeks 1 through 5 and then weeks 14 to 16. I've always felt like those are very important weeks for fantasy. Obviously, the playoffs are the latter part, but the early part, you know, you get off to a hot start. I mean, I always remember Joe Torre saying that you can win your division in April. So you can get off to a hot start during the season and get
he
off.
He said that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like he would say the exact opposite later. Like, he has probably like a quote for like, you can't win the season till October.
No, right. In October. No, he would talk about the how everything would be impacted by a hot start. And actually a cold start could really dig you such a hole that you feel like you're playing in such a sense of urgency the entire season that it kind of wears you out.
As a Chargers fan, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. You know only too well. 0-4. What was it? 3 years ago, I think. And they could have easily been 3-1 that those games. Oh, yeah. Ay, mijo. But yeah, so, you know, this one, we're going to El Norte, AFC and NFC North divisions. You know, we didn't have a lot of weather to talk about during the playoff weeks. And that's always, to me, that's one of the underrated parts of looking at fantasy and fantasy players. Are they going to be, you know, quarterbacks especially, are they going to be impacted during, you know, by cold weather fronts? So, you know, it is funny to be thinking about cold right now. We're in the heat of summer,
right?
But yes, it's coming, folks. But yeah, so we're gonna do. There is some weather in these divisions, so we're gonna start out. You know, kind of like on a little bit on the coast, on the East Coast, Baltimore. The Ravens, I mean, they just tore through people last year, and they kind of had a weatherproof offense with, you know, leading the NFL in rushing, and they really blew through teams that way. I know Lamar Jackson, they talk about him, you know, maybe throwing a little bit more, maybe running a little bit less. Maybe J.K. Dobbins takes some of those rushes. I still think he's going to be pushing 1,000 yards, even if he doesn't get the 1,200 that he got last year. Opens up against Cleveland, and what a, you know, you look at this opening run for them, and they got Cleveland at Houston, Kansas City, Washington, and Cincinnati. First 5 weeks, the best run defense from last year that they got, according to you know, yards allowed, was Houston's at number 25. They are some basura run defense.
They're very lucky with that schedule.
It's
like, it makes me drool for them, because I don't want to root for Lamar Jackson, because I feel like his passing is just going to get worse because of how accurate he was last season. I feel like there's nothing but downhill for him. But, I mean, look at these defenses they're going against. He's going to run all over them. So, I mean, I feel like looking at this, I would feel secure in picking any Raven player, whether right. it be Andrews, Mark Ingram. I wouldn't pick up, you know, Dobbins.
I kind of like Dobbins. I think he might get some. He might actually get some, you know, kind of some garbage time, some basura time.
Nothing worth it. I think Dobbins will get time when COVID gets to Mark Ingram. But other than that, no, there's no way. Knock on wood, yeah.
Knock on wood, that doesn't happen.
Mark right. Ingram is solid. He's a 1,000-yard rusher. So, mm-hmm. and he can catch a ball. Maybe he gets garbage time, but then you got, you know, Gus Edwards. And, you know, there's too many options. And I think Mark Ingram's shown his maturity. And he's shown that he can actually be the lead Caballo on the team. So,
but we got to remember, too, I mean, NFL is a copycat league. And when Mark Ingram was on the New Orleans Saints, he had an incredible year next to Alvin Kamara, who also had an incredible year. So believe me, the Baltimore Ravens know that Mark Ingram can be a tandem team.
He had a great year last year.
Yeah, what I'm saying is regarding J.K. Dobbins is that Ingram can have a great year, but Dobbins could also have a great year. And based looking at this schedule, these teams, the first 5 weeks, and then again, you can talk about, you know, the playoff run, George, weeks 14, 15, 16. These run defenses are just trash. So I think either one of these guys, and again, there's room, I think there's room there in Baltimore if they are going to pull the reins back a little bit on Lamar's running and him, you know, want him to be a pocket passer. I think there's a lot of room there for J.K. Dobbins to take over where Lamar was running last year.
If anything, I look at Mark Ingram and I think I want Mark Ingram more than I want Dobbins.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, you know, Dobbins would be a nice have, you know, if you can get him at a good value later.
I'm never going to pick him up. I don't care if he's I'm looking at my computer, it says next best pick, Dobbins. I'm going to skip that fool.
You're passing him. I'm grabbing him if he's like my fourth running back. I don't mind grabbing him because I think he's.
Yes.
Gus Edwards gets.
You're gonna drop him eventually.
Legend.
Watch.
Maybe, but how you know, you grab the.
Go ahead.
You grab the high upside guys late, but you know, the thing. I look at Gus Edwards. He had 700 yards last year. I think Dobbins is gonna take some of the, you know, a good chunk of that, take some of the 1,200 yards away. I think Mark Ingram is gonna get his 1,000 yards. I think he's gonna be the lead caballo on this one. But I think Dobbins is gonna be usable, maybe as a flex play or something like that, and also just kind of an injury. But I want to get back to those playoff weeks 14, 15, and 16. He's got, you know, in semifinal week 15, Jacksonville, and championship week, Giants. Lamar Jackson is going to eat when it comes to passing. He is going to throw some bombs. I think Marquise Brown will be there will be some weather to play with there, but I still think those defenses are such basura that I don't see how. I think it makes Lamar Jackson that much more enticing this year.
Agreed. This schedule, like you said, beginning first 5 weeks, playoff time. Oh man, it just looks like Lamar is just gonna just eat, man. This guy is just going to eat. Oh man.
But it almost makes you think, if they're gonna win their division and they're up four games, do they sit their players against Jacksonville and against the Giants?
It could be. I mean, it comes down. It's
super easy.
Yeah, it's
super easy. And their divisions, I mean, their division has Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's going to be them and Pittsburgh for to win the division. So, but yeah, you're right. They could be like, 12-2 and walking away with the division, and maybe they start sitting guys. I mean, they did sit Lamar Jackson in week 17 last year because they'd already won home field advantage for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
to be seen.
We're going to see. Hector, you want to tell us about Cincinnati?
Well, yeah, let's take a look at the Cincinnati Bengals. Mr. Joe Burrow coming in.
Doesn't look good, I'll tell you that.
I don't necessarily disagree. I'm always a little leery of rookies coming in, although the guy blew it out in college. So I got to say there's some upside there for sure. Let's take a look at his schedule. First 5 weeks, he's playing at home. Chargers, they were
going to kill him.
They were number five defense. Yeah. So give us a little bit of insight.
Nate Peterman or something like that had his first game as a rookie against the Chargers when he was at Buffalo Bills. I was at that game, and he had five interceptions. That Yikes. Defense is good in the secondary. So Burrow's going to get a rude awakening, and then he's going to be at Cleveland, and then he's going to feel like a king.
Yeah.
And then when he gets to Philly, Jacksonville, and Baltimore, he's going to get back into reality.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, Cleveland's defense was number seven against the pass last year, so they are going to give him fits as well. So, we talk about, rookies coming into the league, you have to have that confidence. You got to build that confidence, and if he's going to get his clock cleaned a little bit and, a wake-up call first 2 weeks in the NFL, and then Philly, they may, he may have a little bit of a step back there trying to establish himself as an NFL quarterback.
It's going to be a rough time. Just looking at it, it's like,
And
those
then,
are tough teams. Those are tough teams to go and play up against.
Does it make you shy away from Joe Mixon?
Interesting. I mean, Philly,
already don't like the Mixon idea.
His ADP is too high for me. I'd rather have a Nick Chubb. I'd rather have Josh Jacobs. I'd rather have Kenyon Drake. And all those guys are listed below Joe Mixon on ADP right now. So
if you could see them falling behind early, why would you want the running back on that team when you know they got to throw the ball?
Yeah.
That's true.
We know Cincinnati's, their defense is going to be, more basura. So
look at the playoffs, Dallas, Pittsburgh, Houston. Those teams, even if their defense isn't the best, those teams are going to score points. And if they're outscoring Cincinnati, you don't want Mixon in the playoffs. All of a sudden, you're like, crap, Mixon is, down by three touchdowns against Dallas.
He's not going to win.
They're not going to use him.
Right.
So it definitely makes me want to shy away from Cincinnati players, except for A.J. Green. And
of course.
Tyler Boyd.
Yeah.
So definitely get those guys. I think no matter what, get them.
Oh.
There you go. Yeah, for garbage time, like you said, garbage time guys that'll work out in Cincinnati. Those are the guys to go after.
Yeah, yeah. I mean those playoff weeks. I mean, Burrow is going to be interesting from two QB superflex leagues. Those weeks, they're that Pittsburgh game.
I wouldn't pick him up for a two quarterback flex. Yeah. I just wouldn't. That schedule is just killer. That's you would have to be my third quarterback in that league.
Man, what do you, Rick? I know you haven't hidden your disdain for Cleveland.
they're going to be disappointing. They're going to have a slow start as well. When you look at it, the first game they're going against, Baltimore in Baltimore, so they're going to lose. And Baltimore's not even going to have any fans there, and they're still going to get. It's still going to sound like a riot out there. Then they're lucky they get to play against Cincinnati, but I feel like that can easily be a trap game. Then they go against the, you know, the Washington new names. And I feel like that game, they're all a bunch of young teams. Cincinnati's a young team. Washington's a young team. So Cleveland has a chance to kind of maybe take both of those games and start 2-1. But then they go against Dallas. And then, I don't know, going against Phillip Rivers. I feel like Cleveland's lucky that they go against a bunch of what-if teams. Right. And even in the playoffs, it's juicy because, yes, they play Baltimore week one of playoffs.
Yeah.
They play against the Giants and the Jets after that. So it's Wow. The Jets can reduce points, but it's like if you were one of the bad people who picked OBJ or Landry or Baker Mayfield, you make the playoffs, you might be rewarded because the playoff schedule is just, I mean, I would love to go against both New York teams.
Yeah, Baker might be a sneaky play at that point.
Yeah. Looking at this, we talked a little bit, before we start recording here, George, that this is kind of like an eye opener, as far as, because before this, I was like, man, I'm not looking at Baker at all. But now I might look at him as my second QB, only if I make the playoffs, going against the Giants in week 15 against the Jets, which are a dumpster fire in week 16. I think he could just, I think half those guys in the Jets by week 16 will be checked out, already thinking about their tee times in Florida, and in the Bahamas. So I think half of those guys are just going to put in like 30% effort, the Jets defense. I think Baker might go for like, something like four touchdowns in a game like that. So definitely a guy to keep an eye on now that I see this and think like, whoa, wait a minute, time to maybe rethink my strategy. I wouldn't mind taking Baker like as a second QB and maybe plugging him in towards the end of the playoff run there.
I think their running game is going to look hot in the beginning, but I think they go up against a lot of tough run defenses, and I just wouldn't want to be an owner of someone in that committee unless that running back's like my flex.
Right.
Yeah. And there's already talk about how the split, the carry split is going to go between Chubb and Hunt, but I still think Chubb's going to be one of the best running backs in the NFL. It's just a matter of what's he going to do during those crucial weeks, and are you relying on him as your number one guy? And then he's got to go up against the Baltimore stout run defense, and then a couple weeks later, if you make it the championship week, the Jets sneaky were the number two run defense. Last year or so. That could be tough. Well, speaking of tough, the Steelers, they've got an interesting opening. I mean, they're going to run all over the New York Giants, week one. They're just going to, I really think they're going to do whatever they want with that at that point, because the Giants just don't have any kind of defense. But and then Denver,
nice opening for Big Ben.
That's a nice opening. And really, I mean, those first three games, Denver, their pass defense took a big hit because they lost Chris Harris to the Chargers. So their pass defense, that, they got a
Chargers
little bit
defense, I'm telling you.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, so Denver, I think Denver's defense, I mean, they still got Von Miller, who had COVID. And so hopefully that didn't impact him because he's got asthma. But, Denver's defense could, and that game's going to be in Pittsburgh. Houston's defense, they got J.J. Watt and 10 guys. 10 guys off the street, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's going to be, they're going to have a lot of fun with him. Tennessee's defense is tough. Philly's pass defense is not good. So, I mean, that's a nice little soft
Big Ben looks Big like, Ben. Like, I would... Looking at this schedule, it's like Big Ben just might be the Big Ben. So I might just wait on quarterbacks and pick up Big Ben, in the 12th round as my first QB, depending on how your league drafts. Because look at this, all these pass defenses, not that they suck, but Big Ben's so good, he can get three touchdowns against all of these defenses.
Yes,
maybe
exactly.
Buffalo's going to be a little hard, first week of the playoffs. But I would love to go against Cincinnati and Indianapolis late in the season. So, and if Big Ben can be the Big Ben,
he's been.
That's some value you get there, picking him way in the end and getting great, a great wide receiver and a super great running back because you skipped on Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, all those good ones.
Yeah, no, definitely. I definitely like him at the end playing at the Bengals week 15. They were 21st against the pass. Colts 23rd against the pass. So, you know, definitely, I don't disagree with your strategy there. Maybe waiting a little bit on some of these QBs. I'm gonna have to do a little bit more hashtag research on these QBs that are going up against these trash defenses. You know, late during the playoffs, and maybe rethinking my drink a little bit.
Yeah, what definitely. I think it's doing, seeing all these trash QBs or whatever, or not trash QBs, QBs going against trash defenses, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes are still going to be two of the top QBs. Right. But I think seeing all these other QBs, like Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, it reduces the value of Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. Because now you're like, okay, even though those three are in like their own little tier, all of a sudden, the tier under them is just so good.
It's like almost as good. It's like A and B. Top two
quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Wait, and therefore, I think Russell Wilson, you're going to see get drafted way late. So it's interesting. There's just going to be so many good quarterbacks out there right now. The next two teams we talk about each have a quarterback that might be, you know, viable too.
Well, we're going to the NFC now. With Chicago, and we're going to be talking about there's going to be a whole quarterback quarterback issue. Heck, what are you thinking about their schedule?
Well, they kind of got lucky here. They Detroit's defense 32 against the pass in week one. Week two, the Giants number 28 against the pass. I mean, Trubisky,
if he doesn't do it with this opening.
Yeah, he's got Nick Foles waiting in the wings, right? You know, just waiting to take over, if he once he chokes. But if he can't do something against the 32 ranked pass defense and the 28th and then the 22nd and then the 20th in the first 5 weeks, the average pass defense based on last year is like 25th ranked, like that he's going against. So if he can't do it, then he's done. Like, that's the end of the Trubisky era. Bring in Nick Foles, and then he's gonna have a nice run in the playoffs for weeks 14, 15, 16 against Houston, and then at Minnesota they play, I think, indoors, right? The Vikings are indoors, right? And they have a dome over there, right? Even though they're playing, so they're playing in the wintertime, but nice comfy cozy confines indoors at Minnesota, and then at Jacksonville, Florida, again, nice, comfy, cozy. So, Nick Foles can definitely do some damage. I think he would have done a great last year was with the Jaguars, right? And he blew out. He tore up his shoulder or something. And then
game one.
And then, then Gardner Minshew came in. But there was high hopes for Nick Foles last year. The guy won a Super Bowl. He beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. The guy has a 6-touchdown game, you know, back with the Philadelphia Eagles. So Nick Foles is nothing to sneeze at. The guy has it in him to do big things.
Don't sneeze on him today. No COVID.
Yes.
Wear a mask.
Yes, exactly. So I don't know. I think Trubisky will choke, and I think Foles comes in
No matter what happens, pick up Allen Robinson.
Yes.
Because these pass defenses are this crappy, then your team's probably kind of crappy too. So you're going to let some points go too. So much room for him. He's either going to get Trubisky or Foles. Either way, he knows that
they're coming from behind. Garbage. Yeah,
they're going to come from behind, and they're going to try to look for the better option. It's not like if Trubisky sucks, they have an even crappier option second.
And we're gonna find out if David Montgomery's for real. If he's gonna have the second year breakout, because those first
three
games,
it's gonna be tough.
Well, those first three games, the run defenses aren't anything scary. 4 and 5, you know, Indy had a number 7 run defense, and Tampa Bay had the number 1 ranked run defense last year. So
I don't want to discount Detroit only because it's interdivision or whatever you call it.
Oh yeah,
they always own each other. So starting there, I feel like it's going to be a tough defensive game. Yeah, against New York, he might be able to run. But after that, I feel like he's going to have a little bit of trouble running.
Yeah, and weather's not going to be an issue during championship weeks because they've got the home game against Houston. So that might be tough for, you know, dome teams in playing in weather in December and January usually struggle. But then at Minnesota and then at Jacksonville. So, you know, we're not going to see – you know, those snow games that we're so used to.
Right.
And one thing we're also not talking about is if their defense is okay, they're good. But if they're coming from behind it all the time, Montgomery's not going to have that many times to prove himself, because they're going to have to keep throwing. And if their passing's bad, it's going to be garbage time. So not only is he going to be going against tough run defense, they're just not going to be able to run it in general. So I just don't – I don't know. I'd want to shy away from Montgomery looking at the schedule.
Yeah. Detroit, Detroit Rock City. Ricky, what do you they got that tough first game in Chicago.
It's going to be tough no matter what in Chicago. That game is going to be fun to watch because you love to see those rivalries. It's going to be nice to see Stafford back. It's going to be great to see Trubisky and Foles. Maybe they make that decision right away. Maybe they make it for us. But right after that, Detroit goes to Green Bay. Then they go to Arizona. Then they go to New Orleans. And then what is this? A week five bye?
Oh, it's so early.
Terrible.
But, I mean, with these, I mean, I'm not going to lie. As a fantasy football player, I'm like, yes, let's get this crap over with. But looking at the first four games, all I can think is, let's score some points. These teams are, besides Chicago, the other three teams are fast-paced teams. So you're going to see Detroit right away using weapons, making points. And then at the end of the season, you see them doing the same thing with Green Bay, Tennessee, Tampa Bay, more teams that are going to be scoring points. So I want part of Detroit. They look like they're going to have to be scoring a lot of points all year. And, I mean, they can do it because Stafford is a magician. So as long as he's healthy, I think, yeah, I'm hopping on any of the players for Detroit. The running back situation's a little weird. But, yeah, hop on Stafford's train. Get Hawkinson. That guy's going to definitely do something with these bad defenses.
No,
yeah,
agreed. TJ, for
sure. I think by the end of the bye week, DeAndre Swift's going to be the guy. He's going to be the caballo.
I don't think so. I love rookies. I just don't think teams are willing to throw their rookies out that quickly and give them that much of a load right away.
Well, they're not going to have a chance. They're not going to have a choice because I think Kerryon Johnson just can't stay healthy. So,
that's sad that that's that's an issue. I want to keep up with the no ifs. I know Heck says not until the draft.
You can say it. You can say it now. It's okay.
Kerryon is healthy all 16 games. Do you think Swift passes him?
You know what? I haven't even considered that option because I felt like Kerryon is gonna be out by week eight before Halloween.
He's like Alshon, right? Soft tissue.
Yeah, I think it's not a matter of if, it's when. Wow. So does Kerryon keep the job? I mean, maybe if he gets off to a hot start and DeAndre Swift isn't getting the offense, sure, you know, he keeps the job, but I think you know, guys, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah,
Kerryon Johnson has been injured both years, significantly injured both years. So I just don't see how it can happen. It's a shame because he's talented. I want to point out one game that's really, you know, making me salivate for Matthew Stafford owners. Week 16, Tampa Bay.
I was looking at that too.
Tell us, Nick.
No, I was just gonna say. I mean, first of all, I read a stat today, you know, on one of the, you know, the Instagram fantasy football pages that, you know, they just put together fantasy points per game, and you know, regardless of how many games you played, and Stafford was like number four last year in fantasy points per game, even though, yes, he had a shortened season, just in the games that he did play, he was ranked number four, I think, overall of all quarterbacks that played last year in just points per game. So the guy, obviously he got hurt, but he's healthy now. He's had time to heal up and relax. And if Stafford is ready to roll, you know, not only is Tampa Bay week 16, but also week 15 against Tennessee. So Stafford's definitely a nice, a play, like you said, Rick. If you don't get some of the top tier QBs, Stafford's definitely a nice guy to wait on, and picking the later rounds is a great, great value for sure.
Now, I've been kind of banging the drum a little bit a few weeks ago about Aaron Rodgers that mm-hmm. he's getting drafted too low. Obviously, when our Los Underrated show. So, you know, Green Bay's our next team. We got two left before we go. And, you know, he's got an interest. They've got a really good opening for three out of the first 4 weeks.
Shootouts.
You know, Minnesota, their defense has taken a step backward. Detroit, their defense is a work in progress. New Orleans, their defense is good.
They had
the worst
pass defense last year.
Oh, yeah. Detroit.
A work in progress.
Yeah. And they lost their best defense. They lost their best cornerback to the Eagles, even though they replaced him with the number three pick, Jeff Okuda. But I still don't see how they're going to improve enough to be a scary one. And then, you know, you got the Atlanta. So that's three possibilities. I mean, the New Orleans defense, they're for real. So that's going to be a tough one. It's going to be in New Orleans. But the other games, I really think the Green Bay offense is going to do well. I think Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Freeman, Aaron Jones, people are talking him down. Fire those guys up
early. Their defense is going to be crappy. So all four of these games are going to be super exciting. I would definitely fire him up. I'll tell you what, though. Let's say first round, you swing around late and you get Devontae Adams. And then coming around the third, fourth round, you have the chance to pick up Golladay. Do you do it, or because they both have week five buys, do you pass on them?
Oh, yeah, in a heartbeat. Receiver is so deep. You know, I'll get two other receivers.
So you would say you would look at the bye week and say, I don't want to deal with the headache of having multiple players on the bye.
No, I wouldn't even think about it. I'd grab him. You give me Golladay in the third round? Oh, hell yes. When I got Devontae Adams in the first, and hopefully I got a good running back in the second.
Yep.
Yeah. Sign me up. Dámelo.
Yeah, and we're talking about weather. One of the things that we said, that there's not, you know, there haven't been too many instances to talk about weather here, but this is, you know, picking Aaron Rodgers or the Green Bay defense, we're talking about weather. You know, like you know, just like Allen Iverson's talking about practice. You know, right now we're talking about weather. You know, week 15, playing at home against Carolina, again, you got to think about these other teams. You have the opposing teams that are just not used to cold. I mean, Carolina plays in Carolina. They're generally not playing in cold weather. Tennessee plays in Tennessee. They're not used to playing in cold
weather. Run over them in the cold weather.
You think so?
And it's going to hurt. So.
But no one plays in cold weather like the Green Bay Packers does. It's just different. You see Aaron Rodgers there, it's like negative 90 degrees. And Aaron Rodgers is just standing there like calling plays, like looking around, you know, with his mustache. Yep. Like it's nothing.
He's
like a robot. So I definitely like the Green Bay offense, especially in come playoff time, weeks 15 and 16, probably playing in the snow.
I remember it was Philadelphia when they had, what was his name? McCoy, LeSean McCoy. And they're going against Buffalo in the snow. And I was all like, I'm not going to have him play. Like, it's snowing. And he ran for like over 200 yards. I was pissed. So I remember that weather games. Like, I thought, you know, it's the snow. There's going to be fumbles. There's going to be nothing. Nothing's happening. But I hate thinking about the weather.
Well, you're not going to. Yeah, you're not going to have to think about December weather on the next team, Rick. Let's go to Minnesota, even though they have weather.
The one thing that's great about them is that they're in a dome.
Yep.
They're gonna start off pretty nice, but the thing about them is their team's just been slowly falling apart. They get to play Green Bay right away, which is for us as fans. It's awesome to get to see that rivalry week one, especially not having any sports for like, it feels like 4 years now. Right. Then they're going to be able to get to go against the new Phillip Rivers team, Tennessee, Houston, Seattle. All those teams, except for Indianapolis, are possible playoff teams. And Minnesota is one of those teams that I feel is on the outside looking in. They look like a wild card team, but they're very close to having to start rebuilding again. I love Dalvin Cook. He's going to be great no matter what. The run defenses are crap that he's going against in the beginning of the season, but at the end of the season, it is going to get tougher for him. So we'll see what happens. I would shy away from that team in general.
I disagree. I just want to disagree on one point. I'll let you go. I think Indianapolis is definitely a playoff team. So I think it's playoff teams, but yeah, I think they're going to be there. The division is, it's basically them and Tennessee in that division.
I bet you they're not in the playoffs this year for show.
Oh, I sent a beer bet. Beer bet.
Beer bet. I love Philip Rivers. It'd be awesome. And now that I think about it, something stupid's gonna happen. He's gonna get in the playoffs. But I mean, I don't think they got it.
I mean, I'm just looking at the receiving core. You know, I'm trying to understand, you know, what did Minnesota do to replace Stephon Diggs? Because I am a big fan of Stephon Diggs. I think he's a big, big bonus going to Buffalo. He's going to help the Buffalo offense over there just go bananas. I'm a big fan of the Buffalo offense. But I'm trying to see what exactly is Minnesota. How are they going to replace Stephon? I mean, yes, Adam Thielen's there. He's always been there. The guy's got great hands. He can catch. You know, he's amazing. But other
Justin
than that.
Justin Jefferson.
Yes, they do have Justin Jefferson. Do you see him as a viable replacement just to kind of plug and play? With, you know, from
you
Stephon
just need
Diggs
someone leading. Fast. I mean, yeah. Thielen's going to be where your money is. So if they're going to leave Jefferson open, awesome. And right, I believe they still got Kyle Rudolph.
Kyle Rudolph coming across the middle too. Exactly.
Rudolph actually was viable last season. I've thought he's been crap since he's been alive. So it was nice to see him get some touchdowns last season.
Tell us what you really feel, Rick.
But seriously, I used to think like, oh, this guy's a sleeper. This guy's a sleeper. Nah, then last year I see him on my friend's team and he whoops my ass, so I have a better
taste. That's what you get, man. That's what you get.
You know what? I mean, when you look at Kirk Cousins, I was blanking on his name there for a second.
Yeah.
That's some bottom half, and I'm using light defenses on the, you know, for him in the first five games. And then you've got in the playoffs. Yeah, you got you're not dealing with weather, you know, which could be happening, but you're at Tampa Bay, you got Chicago at home, and then you're at New Orleans. I think there's at least two of those games are games that could be shootouts, because I think that New Orleans game is going to be they're going to be fighting for best record in the NFL, so or the NFC. So right, there's going to be a lot of balls in the air for that game. So
I just feel if Adam Thielen goes out, they don't have depth, and they're just gonna no matter what defense they go.
He's the X factor. If Adam Thielen's in there, they have a chance to win. If Adam Thielen's out,
especially with no Diggs there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because with Diggs gone, they're very thin now. It's just like you better not get injured, because they're just Thielen, Jefferson, and Rudolph. Like that's the whole extent of their. I'm looking at their depth chart. I mean,
Jefferson's not even anything yet.
That's what I'm saying. And that's why I was asking. With Diggs gone, and they have Thielen, they have Kyle Rudolph. Does Justin Jefferson even make some kind of an impact? Because
it's
they're
just
already
more
thin.
Weight on Cook's back.
Right. That's true.
I think it's on Cook, and I think there's going to be more targets for Thielen. I think Thielen's going to go back to where he was a couple years ago, where I think he got targeted.
But is he going to have as good of like a reception completion or reception percentage? Because he was awesome. He was like glue in the hands that time.
Yep. Yeah.
But if he doesn't have glue hands this time, yeah, he'll get the balls thrown at him and the offense. If he doesn't catch him like he used to, offense just ain't gonna click. It's gonna be so much.
He'll catch that guy. Can flat out catch. He will catch those balls. Kirk Cousins will drop him in there. He will catch
Cook. Stephon Diggs can catch. That guy's got some hands.
Yeah, he does.
No, I think they're gonna miss Stephon Diggs, but I don't think it's gonna impact Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen's healthy for 16 games. I think he's gonna be probably
beast
top
mode.
Five in targets
beast,
in the NFL.
Beast mode. Easily. 10-12 a game. Easy.
Yep.
And yeah, I think looking at the end of their schedule, sorry to interrupt, guys, just I wouldn't want any of their players on my team except I wouldn't want Cook. I think Dalvin Cook looks good, but I think the thing that's going to differentiate him being in the top two tier, because there's so many different running backs in that tier to decide who to pick, I think looking at his schedule, Tampa Bay, Chicago, New Orleans at the end, tough run defenses, it's going to make me put Cook in the back of that tier.
Yeah.
And that's Cook, someone who's going to be a first rounder you know, in the top 10 easily. But I'm saying he should be should be in the back of the list just looking at scheduling.
The playoff run, for sure. Definitely.
That's why we do this. Bueno, everybody, eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and making sure our familia community gets to enjoy our independent podcast. Please subscribe, leave us a review, Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcast. And remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB and also on our Facebook page. So, otra vez, gracias. It was great reliving some memories in Mexico. So, because you know what? Todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.